بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على البغاة الظالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق الله أجمعين، سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا ونور أبصارنا وبصائرنا وقرة أعيننا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. وارض اللهم عن صحابة رسول الله المخلصين المحسنين المتقين، وعمن اتبع النبي بإحسان وتمسك بالثقلين إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. We started this subject of aqeedah, which means faith, and tawheed, which means the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying one thing, and I want to re-stress it again. Of course, the articles of tawheed are the most important articles in the deen, for the simple reason that I said, and that is clear and obvious to the Qur'an, that a mistake in fiqh may lead to invalidate the work, but a mistake in tawheed may depart that person from Islam, unknowingly. Of course, more important than that the entire Islam, the entire deen of Islam, and the core and the heart of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about tawheed, to teach people tawheed. Therefore, the articles of Tawheed specifically and the science of Tawheed, yani ilm al-Tawheed specifically, is a science that can only be supported and can only be substantiated based on the glorious Quran and the authentic of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In other words, the deen has been completed. Our deen is completed, as you all know in the Quran. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. And the deen is al-Islam, which means al-Tawheed. It's completed. It's done. We don't need new additions. And we don't need new genius ideas, because there is no need for geniusness here. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, had given us this perfect explanation of Tawheed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced that for 13 years, teaching the Sahaba Tawheed. 13 years only Tawheed, 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 and the Quran. Therefore, in matters of Tawheed, as we said before,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wal'aqibatu lil-Muttaqeen, Wala udwana illa ala al-Bughati al-Zalimeen, والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق الله أجمعين، سيدنا ومولانا وحبيبنا ونور أبصارنا وبصائرنا وقرة أعيننا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. وارض اللهم عن صحابة رسول الله المخلصين المحسنين المتقين، وعمن اتبع النبي بإحسان وتمسك بالثقلين إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. We started this subject of aqeedah, which means faith, and tawheed, which means the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying one thing, and I want to re-stress it again. Of course, the articles of Tawheed are the most important articles in the deen, for the simple reason that I said, and that is clear and obvious to the Quran, that a mistake in fiqh may lead to invalidate the work, but a mistake in Tawheed may depart that person from Islam, unknowingly. Of course, more important than that the entire Islam, the entire deen of Islam, and the core
And the heart of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about tawheed, to teach people tawheed. Therefore, the articles of tawheed specifically and the science of tawheed, yani ilm al-tawheed specifically, is a science that can only be supported and can only be substantiated based on the glorious Quran and the authentic of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In other words, the deen has been completed. Our deen is completed, as you all know in the Quran. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. And the deen is al-Islam, which means al-tawheed. It's completed. It's done. We don't need new additions. And we don't need new genius ideas, because there is no need for geniusness here. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, had given us this perfect explanation of tawheed, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced that for 13 years, teaching the Sahaba tawheed. 13 years only tawheed, 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 and the Quran. Therefore, in matters of tawheed, as we said before, and I will say again, we profess strict adherence to the glorious Quran and to the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the reason for that, dear brothers and sisters, is for very simple. Because faith, tawheed is faith, is your faith. The core of your faith is tawheed. Faith cannot be shakable. Faith must be unshakable, must be above any doubt, beyond any uncertainty. And therefore it must be based on evidences that cannot be questionable, that have no room for doubt. Absolutely no room. And that can be done through two things: the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, before I continue, I want to talk about something that I mentioned here on page 62 on your manuals. Israeliyat. What are Israeliyat? And this is one of our most serious diseases that we have, that infiltrated. Israeliyat, of course, is a plural for Israeliyah. And Israeliyah is a collection of information, whether it pertains to Tawheed, pertains to Hadith, pertains to Tafsir, pertains to Seerah, it could pertain to anything. It's a collection, it's a set of information that infiltrated the deen through the converts to Islam with a serious and heavy and a scientific background in Judaism or Christianity. As you know, Muslims at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam converted, and after that they converted. They converted either from mainly from Christianity and Judaism, and from idol worshipping. And many, some of these people, let's say, so not many, some of these people, they were knowledgeable for 40 years, 50 years, science scholars in Judaism. And when they converted, as you know, there are many events that the Quran talk about that have similarities. Yusuf alayhi salam, Ishaq, Yaqub, many of these events. And sometimes, for some reason or another, a confusion took place. And because we do not doubt the sincerity of those people, we're not allowed to doubt their sincerity, because we don't know what's in their hearts. But they used to teach the new generation the sunnah, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said and taught. And at times, people ask them, what about the books, the old books, the Bible, the Torah? So they tell them. And our assumption is that they always distinguished and told them that this is the story I'm telling you right now, for example, is from the Torah, from the old books. And they distinguish that from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, now there has been a slight confusion afterwards, And some of these things infiltrated. People took it and said, for example, Ka'b al-Ahbar said this. And immediately said, then he must have heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or something like that. Which caused some leakage of information, which are not really supposed to leak to start with because they are Israeliyat. And of course, as you know, anyone who studied the science of tafsir, you know that first thing is you have to be careful and watch out. And of course, there are flags. For those who know, there are flags for Israeliyat. You know which one basically has a question mark. And you, again, it's not the point of doubting the sincerity of the narrator more than it is verifying the validity of the narration. And as you remember, yesterday we went over some of the chapters in the Torah, in the current Torah, and in the current Bible. And we said, we drew a contrast of direct correlation between the current version of Tawheed in the Torah and the current version of Tawheed in the Bible that the Jews and the Christians use, and between what the Tawheed in Islam is. And the reason, as you all know, the major reason for the, of course, the message of Islam is to correct the Tawheed in people, because people started believing in the creation and left the Creator. So there's a deviation in the Tawheed there. The reason for infiltration and of all these things, and some people going towards that, let's say, the Tawheed, the current Tawheed of Yahud Nasara, of course, is dependence, number one, on the extremely weak ahadith and on some of the Israeliyat, which led them to actually adopt the Tawheed of the Yahud and Nasara of this time. And this is very obvious when you see some of the work. Of course, our job as Muslims is number one to refer back to the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and always check and balance and reference, check and reference. Because this is your job, this is your life, and this is your success. And therefore, as I said before, and we will always say that we Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, specifically, we do not profess blind imitation to anybody. No blind imitation. You imitate in matters of ibadat. That's how you learn it from your father or from your scholar. Make sure it also coincides with the Book and Sunnah, because that's what Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, wa Shafi'i, wa Ahmad, wa Malik, all of them said. So it's not when people follow these scholars, they're not professing blind imitation, nor should they. There's difference between imitation and blind imitation. But in matters of aqa'id, as the scholars have mentioned, and all of us understand, that you have to also work with the references and work with the texts. Therefore, what happened to the other people of other faith and other sets of beliefs is that they went from worshipping the Creator into worshipping the creation. This is exactly what happened. So some people therefore said, after Isa alayhi salam, they said, well, there's two. Actually, there's three. Therefore, Nasara, they have three Tawheeds. Tawheed of the Father, Tawheed of the Son, and Tawheed of the Holy Spirit. Three Tawheeds they have. We have only one Tawheed, Muslims. We don't have three. Because they said there's three, so you have to do Tawheed for each one. And then they said, and they also said then, the Father and the Son are basically two of one nature. And that the Father or the Son, they dwell in the creation. Therefore, to them, and again, this is not meant to be derogatory against anybody. It's not meant to degrade peoples or to mock them. Absolutely not. This is just an intellectual table where we put everybody puts his sets of beliefs, and we try to make some sense out of things. And whether we disagree or we don't agree, or we agree, of course we don't agree with everything, that's why we're Muslims, it is just an intellectual exchange of ideas. It is not a platform to attack anybody or to degrade their sets of faith. We have mercy and respect and love for all human beings just because Allah created them as human beings. That's Muslims type. But that's why they believe that the second tawheed for the Son, which is of course as according to them is, for example, a part of God the Father, supposedly, because there are three pieces, three tawheeds. He dwells, he lives on earth. Why? The Creator dwelling in the creation. Hulul. You hear that in Arabic called Hulul, which means the Creator dwells in the creation. What happens, let's just discuss that a little bit and see from an Islamic point of view. What do we mean when, what does it indicate when the Creator dwells in the creation? That means the creation limits the Creator. That means the Creator has a size and is assigned with a specific place and has a mass and is the creation, he dwelled in the creation. But if the Creator has a mass and I have a mass, then what's the difference? The size of the mass? No. And that's where they fell wrong. Of course, now we don't want to go too much. Of course, if you go read the New Testament, and you'll see that in Matthew and in John and in Daniel, etc. That's very famous, very known. We went over them yesterday. You go to the Torah, the current Torah, of course, and you see that they say, for example, no, he looks like a man. He is a light like a light. He comes on the clouds. We mentioned all these things. What happened is, again, they said that he created earth and heaven within 6 days, and then on the seventh day he rested. And then where does Islam start? Why do we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to these things? Because who needs rest? The creation. The creation get tired. The creation needs rest. The creation sleeps. The creation comes. The creation goes. The creation, but the Creator is not in need of rest. Because if he's in need of rest, then he's deficient. He's in need. And remember, one thing we said yesterday about As-Samad, the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, As-Samad, means the one that is not in need of anything, yet everything is in need of him. So by definition, the Creator is not in need of anything, yet everything is sustained by him. If he needs, it invalidates the concept of Godhood. Cannot be God. God cannot need. Because that means the Creator needs the creation, which is an impossibility. It's a contradiction in terms. Therefore, Islam came to say, wait a minute, this is wrong. You deviated from worshipping the Creator to worshipping a creation that you imagined. You let your minds go on a wild walk, and then you imagined something, and you worshipped that something that you imagined. And this is the Islam, really, the Tawheed, the whole Tawheed is about distinguishing the Creator from the creation. The Creator who's attributed with the attributes of perfection and is clear from non-befitting attributes. What are the non-befitting attributes again? Are the attributes of the creation. By definition, any attribute of the creation is an attribute of imperfection. And the Creator, Jalla wa'ala, is attributed with the attributes of perfection, superiority, and oneness. Therefore, we mentioned also, and that's to rehash, and summarize the past three sessions, that the golden rule is what Al-Imam Dhannun al-Masri rahimahullah ta'ala said, مهما تصورت ببالك فالله بخلاف ذلك, which means whatever you may imagine in your mind, then be certain that Allah is different from that. Because simply imaginations cannot conceive Him. He's the Creator. So seize your mind, as you will never be able to encompass Him. Believe in His attributes of perfection and submit the true meanings and interpretations to Him. No matter what you do, do not resemble Allah to the creation, and do not negate any of His attributes. In other words, you don't say, we are attributed with hearing, and Allah is attributed with hearing, and that's impossible, so therefore He's not attributed with hearing. Because some people want to do that. Al-Mu'attila, those who negated Allah's attributes. Sallu ala Rasulillah wa alihi. Those who are called mu'attila, or the negators of Allah's attributes. They want to say, look, Allah is attributed with hearing, and we are attributed with hearing, the creation, the creator is attributed with hearing, and the creation is attributed with hearing, that's an impossibility. Therefore, since we are attributed with hearing, the Creator does not have hearing. This leads to kufr. Because the Quran states He's attributed with hearing. The other ones, that those are the mu'attila. The mujassima or the mushabbiha want to say, He said He's attributed with hearing, and we are attributed with hearing. Therefore, He also has an ear, and He also has organs and limbs and parts, which enable Him also to hear, but in a way He knows that suits His majesty. That also leads to kufr. That's actually kufr. Why? It's like someone attributing an attribute of imperfection and saying then in a way that suits your majesty. Like I say, you're crazy in a way that suits your majesty. I just denounced you, I said you're insane in a way that suits you. No matter what I say after I say you're insane, doesn't make any difference. So attributing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with an attribute of imperfection and then saying in a way that suits Him, that becomes a philosophical contradiction. Therefore, we Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what do we believe? We believe that the attribute's name is the same. Yes, we are attributed with hearing and vision and sight, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with hearing and sight. And all we have in common is just a simple name. We hear because Allah created for us an ear. And the ear has eardrums. And there's these three little bones, the incus, the stapes, and the malleus, right? And they start vibrating to amplify the sound that goes into the organ of Corti, right? And then you have the hair that go and amplify that, and then you have the which nerve? Who's the doctor here? Anybody is a physician? Okay. So, and then you have the vestibulocochlear nerve, the cranial nerves, that take these things, these signals, to the brain, to the auditory area in the brain. And in the brain, your brain analyze what the brain just heard and interpret that into information. That's how you conceive what you just heard. Of course, what carries the symbols is the physical waves. There are waves of physics that carry this. You hear me because there are waves that are carrying these things to your ear. This is how I hear. But before all of that, I hear because Allah willed for me to hear. Now, we say, the Quran tells us that nothing is like Him. But He is attributed with hearing and sight. So, we have to say Allah has hearing and sight. But nothing is like Him. That means I am not like Him. That means having a limp, an organ of hearing, that's what I have. Nothing is like him. He doesn't have that. That is me to enable me to hear the physical waves that the wind carries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not attributed with that. The nerves and the veins and the blood and all these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not attributed with that. Therefore, attributing the tool of hearing and the tool of vision and any of the tools, any of the limbs, any of the organs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a matter of kufr. Because this is resembling Him to the creation. He is attributed with hearing because Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, hearing is one of His attributes that are just like the other attributes. They exist because of Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said yesterday about Allah and His attributes, five things that everyone should memorize. Number one, Allah and His attributes are eternal, with no beginning. Number two, they are everlasting, with no end. Number three, they are not created. Number four, they are not subject to change. And number five, they are not simple, not resembling to the creation, not like in the creation. Let's see, my hearing is created. Allah created it. Not only that, my hearing has a beginning when you're born, and it has an end when you die. It is subject to change. The older you grow, the less hearing that you can hear. Huh? And it resembles the creation. So, we affirm and confirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with the hearing and sight. And we clear Him subhanahu wa ta'ala from the tools and the organs and the limbs of hearing. Because He cannot be attributed with that. Simply because He does not resemble the creation. Is this clear? Sallu ala Rasulillahi wa ala. Because if some say Allah has an organ or a limb, why? Does He need an organ limb to hear? Who needs? Who has a need? Me and you have needs. Allah is not in need of anything. Did we forget the meaning of Allah's name, As-Samad? The one who is not in need of anything. And everything is in need of Him. A need is always a symbol of imperfection and deficiency. You need because you're imperfect and you're deficient. You cannot sustain yourself on your own. That's why you need. You need air. You need food. You need water. You need to see people. You need money. You need. Why? If you didn't have any needs, you would be independent. But you are dependent. You are dependent on everything that's around you. And all by Allah's will. I said again yesterday, everything is interrelated, and they're all hanging by Allah's will. They are sustained by Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, those who think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has literal physical mass, literal physical hands, feet, eyes, ears, lips, all these things, these people are not worshipping Allah, nor do they know anything about Allah. These people are worshipping an idol that they imagined in their heads. And there is absolutely no difference between them and the idol worshippers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Absolutely no difference. Both are blasphemers and they both worship a creation. Those, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people imagined a god and they made him an idol. And these people nowadays, they worship a god that they made an idol in their heads. They don't have to make it, but they imagined him right here. And that's the difference. And that's due all to these lines of the Torah and the Bible that we read yesterday. I told you were the current, of course. Because now that's, unfortunately, many Muslims nowadays, they take the articles of faith from TV programs and from papers and from books, and we leave the Quran and we leave the authentic Sunnah. You know, where the, alhamdulillah, the movie, the message. Okay, very nice. I'm not saying, this is not a criticism, but this is not an academic source of learning now, is it? You know, the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the TV.
I hope that this is not our source of information of knowledge. I hope that the masajid and the scholars are our source, and which are deriving the knowledge from the book and sunnah, that's our source of knowledge. May Allah help us. Then Imam al-Tahawi said, Hayyun la yamut. Hayyun la yamut means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with life, and He is not subject to death. That's very simple. I think now, by now, everybody should be able to answer that. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to death? Huh, anyone? Because of many things. Because of what? Ya Sheikh Ali? He is everlasting. One thing. Huh? Without an end. هو الأول والآخر. What else? Death is a change. Death is a change. Change of status. From life to death. But Allah is subject to change. Allah is the one that subjects things to change. Can death subject Allah to change? Can any creation subject Allah to change? No. The third thing, isn't death a creation of Allah? And life is a creation of Allah? Don't you read Surah Al-Mulk? تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الله أكبر. So Allah created الموت والحياة. He created life and death. So since life and death are His creation, and we said that He cannot be attributed with the creation, therefore He cannot be attributed with life that we know and death. Now you say this is confusing. You said life, and we just said that He's attributed with life. Yes. He is attributed with life. But of course, again, this is one of the things where only we have that with Allah with the name. Our life depends on, number one, on the will of Allah to live, for us to live. Number two, on the oxygen. Number three, on the blood, on the circulation, on health, on the moon, on the sun, on the food, on all these things. On being born, on having parents, or many things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with life because it is among His attributes that are eternal, everlasting, not subject to change, not created, not similar to the creation. He is attributed with life because He is the Creator, Jalla wa'ala. And not in need of any of these things that we need to live. Is this clear? طيب. And then Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah said, قَيُّومٌ لَا يَنَامْ. He is eternal. قَيُّوم, we said eternal. Actually, Qayyum means meaning eternal, that with no, not subject to change. No change. Qayyum. Consistency. When you say somebody, Qa'im means always consistent. Qayyum is eternal with no possibility. He's not subject to change. Because anything that changes him, that means what? That means that thing has more power. Subject him to change. And Allah has attributed with the absolute power. La yanam is not subject to sleep. Of course, why? Again, because sleep is a creation. Allah created sleep. And then what else? Sleep is a change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not attributed with change. He is not subject to change. I need sleep. Sleep also implies a need for it, that you rest. You need sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-samad, which means the one who is not in need of anything, yet everything is in need of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Then Imam al-Tahawi said, خَالِقٌ بِلَا حَاجَةٌ, which means He is the Creator. The Creator, without a need to create. Because once you say there's a need to create, that means He has a need. And He cannot have needs, because He's the Creator of needs. Huh. So He created us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, without a need for us to be created. When you make cars, you need cars. When you make buildings, you need buildings. When you do whatever, if you want to say, metaphorically, really speaking, yet you created a house, you created a car, you created all these things. Really?
because you need them. But I want you to say, even though in the Quran it says about Allah,
أَفَمَن يَخْلُقُ كَمَن لَا يَخْلُقُ
يَخْلُقُ أَفَمَن يَخْلُقُ كَمَن لَا يَخْلُقُ. The Quran says, he who creates is like he who doesn't create. And also the Quran talks about people, says,
إِنَّمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَانًا وَتَخْلُقُونَ إِفْكًا
وَتَخْلِقُونَ إِفْكًا, which means you create evil things about the slaves. Then what's the difference? This is the difference. The difference is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and he creates. It means he subhanahu wa ta'ala brings entities from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. And no one has this meaning but Allah. Because those who they say we create a car, they really assemble it. They don't create it. And if they create it, let them create something we don't know from nothing. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings things from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. And this meaning, only Allah jalla wa ala has it. Therefore, هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ. Is there any creator other than Allah? If somebody says, I create, let's see what you create. And Al-Quran always, we don't have time to go into, because we're running behind time. Actually, I didn't know tomorrow was Friday. But, so we might extend that beyond Friday, I think, maybe till Saturday or Sunday. We'll see how things go and we'll let you know, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us in the Quran very simple questions, because the Quran is simple. Don't think the Quran is complicated in a sense that is hard for you to understand and these things. The Quran talks to us in a language we understand. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would kind of be useless tool to talk to us, to talk to the Arabs even at that time in a way they don't understand. And Therefore, the Quran was sunnah, Allah talked to us so we can understand it. Allah said in the Quran,
أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ
أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Very simple ayah, very simple question. Allah is asking us a question and very deep answer. You really have to maybe sit years looking at the skies and at the creation of Allah and trying to figure out what the depth of this meaning of ayah is. And the ayah is this, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing? No one created them? Or are they the creators? Allah is asking the people. They were created from nothing? Were we created from nothing? Let's contemplate now. Or are you the creators? Why are you walking in arrogance like that then? If Allah created you and all these things, then why? Very simple question. But very deep meaning. And you can write books about this ayah. One ayah, you can take the book, and you can take this ayah, and you can write books about this ayah, and what this ayah means, and all these things. And this is the glory of Quran. And then Al-Tahawi rahimahullah said, Raziqun bila mu'na. It means he is a sustainer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sustainer, the provider. But without an effort. If you sustain or you provide, you have savings. Whether savings are food or money or whatever. And sometimes this runs away. Runs out. Of course, if you have livestock, it runs away. If you don't have livestock, it runs out. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains and provides with no difficulty, with no effort. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَفْنَى وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, he tells us what basically مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَفْنَى means what you have
will perish. What you have is limited. It runs out very quickly. But وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. But what Allah has cannot perish, is not limited, is continuous. And then مُمِيتٌ بِلَا مَخَافَ. Imam Tahawi said that he wills for death of his creation without fear. He wills for death of his creation without fear. Because fear by itself is an attribute of imperfection. You have fear because you're afraid of something that you assume is more powerful than you. But nothing is more powerful than Allah. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be attributed with that. Very simple. And then, ba'ithun bila mashaqqa, al-Tahawi rahimahullah said, which means he resurrects without difficulty. Again, we're still going around. Imam Tahawi rahimahullah is going, making sure he drills this point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, nothing is like him. He is attributed with the attributes of perfection, superiority, uniqueness, etc. Here comes now another chapter. It's, and Tahawi says, مَا زَالَ بِصِفَاتِهِ قَدِيمًا قَبْلَ خَلْقِهِ لَمْ يَزْدَدْ بِكَوْنِهِمْ شَيْئًا لَمْ يَكُنْ قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ صِفَتِهِ. Which means, he has always existed internally with his attributes before any of the creation. And bringing the creation into existence did not add anything to his attributes that was not already there. And this is very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always existed in eternity, because a beginning is what? A creation. Allah exists without a beginning. He created the beginning. Because beginning implies time. And time, the reason you have time, why do you have time? My time now is 4 a.m. But why do you have time now? You have time because you have the earth and the sun. That's why you have day and night, the earth and the moon. And then you have the earth and the sun and the galaxy. That's why you have the four seasons. And these are all creations of Allah. That's how you count the years and you count the days and you count the seasons. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not attributed with time. He is the creator of time. هُوَ خَلَقَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ. He created layl, night, and created the day. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in eternity, before any beginning and without any beginning, because actually you shouldn't say before entails time, without a beginning, existed with His attributes that are eternal, everlasting, not subject to Him, not created, not similar to the creation. And Allah willed for the creation to be created, willed then for heavens to be created, willed for earth to be created, willed for all these things to be created. Yet, His attributes of perfection did not have an addition because He created the creation, or He willed for the creation to be created. He was always the creator. In eternity, before, when no time, no beginning, He has always been the creator, eternally and everlastingly, before any creation. Yet He was the creator, Al-Khaliq. There was no khalq, no creation whatsoever, but He was the creator. Because it's His attributes that are everlasting, eternal, not subject to change, not created, and not similar to the creation. So, creating the creation did not add a new attribute to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, because adding a new attribute to Him means a change of status, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to change. And remember, this is a good point that I wrote here on page 73. Think about this. If Allah's attributes change because the creation was created,
That means the creation subjects the creator, affects the creator. Because now the creation is created, now Allah has a new name, or His attributes increased, or all these things. That means the creation has an effect on the creator. But the creation does not have an effect on the creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The creator is the creator of the creation, and he's not in need of the creation. And all him and his attributes existed eternally, without a beginning, everlastingly, without an end, with no need for the creation. And the creation did not add anything to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we said that yesterday, that change implies perfection, I'm sorry, implies imperfection and deficiency, and this is obvious. Who changes? One who moves from one state to another state. Either state of the first state was imperfect, or even though a perfect to a more perfected state. That means at one of the stages, he was less perfect. Which is an impossibility, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with the attributes of perfection, superiority, absolute uniqueness and oneness. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like some people think, that He knows something tomorrow that He didn't know yesterday, that means His knowledge was not absolute, was not superior, not completed, not perfect, not unique. Completed, that means it was completed that before, because before completion it was not completed. That doesn't happen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His attributes. Superior, unique, absolute oneness, absolute superiority. So you see, because this is dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you must be very sensitive. One word can land someone immediately into Jahannam al-Iyadu billah ta'ala. And this is when you say subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, we already said what subhan means. Subhana rabbi al-azim, subhana rabbi al-a'la. And every time you say Allah, you say subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you say that? Right away. We said subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means, oh Allah. Or when you say subhana rabbi al-azim in salah, or subhana rabbi al-a'la in salah, you're saying, oh Allah, you are attributed with the attributes of superiority, perfection, an absolute uniqueness and oneness, and O Allah, you are clear of non-suitable attributes. And you all know that non-suitable attributes are attributes of the creation. This is what subhanahu wa ta'ala means. Ta'ala means, this is subhanahu. Ta'ala means He is above from what the blasphemers attribute Him with.